Let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and glory to the Lamb. Amen. And we thank you for you want to dwell within us. And we ask your Spirit, make this real this morning, and that we see you clearly. In Christ's name, amen. I'm just going to be talking about a cup. Not any particular cup, a whole bunch of cups. I got one with water in it, and I got this one because I knew I'd be moving it around. So I did two intensely. Yeah, because I'd pick it up and go like that. I know I might do it anyway. So I've been looking at that, and just the simple, I'm going to do exactly, nice and slow, and take my time. I hear you. A container, a cup. It's a container. Simple little something to drink out of. And then, of course, you get looking at all the cups and all the things, and people call them mugs, and you have all this different stuff and different shapes and different colors, different forms, made, you know, people make them different ways, right? And, but they all do the same thing. They hold something. And all of them, no matter what they might look like, no matter what the shape might be or anything like that, they all hold something. So how I got started on this, I don't know if this is a good thing that, I don't care. I like walking around in the dark in the middle of the night. I get up and I just go around the house until I get to my table, and then I turn a light on there. So I go and I get this thing. I fill the cup up with water to go to my coffee machines in the other room. And I didn't even, in the dark, I did it. So I just turn it on and I shut it off. So I walk back in the back, right, to go put it in the coffee machine, turn the light on. And it was so full, I don't know if you've ever seen it, that it was bubbled like that. It was that full, right? And then I got nervous. You know what I mean? And I went, wow, look at that cup. Before I knew it was full, I didn't have a problem handling it. Because I wasn't handling it. It wasn't up to me. I was just walking, doing what I was supposed to be doing, going to fill. But as soon as I thought I had control, I got nervous. And I thought, wow, there we go. The cup. I sat right down. I started looking up cup. So that's how I got started on it. It wasn't like I had a Bible verse first. I know some people don't agree with that, but I was raised by a guy named Charles Baker, and he says if we, you know, go to the Word, if we find it in there, then we're safe, and that's the truth. And so I fill the cups up, and it's something that I can pass on to you. You know, I can actually take that cup, pour it into that one, you know, and I can do that, you know, and that's a thing that we can do, right? And then we can look at it like this, if you want. A cup, it's one. Like, what's happening in your life today? One that falls in your lot and things that are going on. And, you know, your cup is full of work. You get so busy with work. It's just full. I'm just full of work. I'm full of studying. People go to college. I'm full of whatever it is that you do. And I started looking at that. So my daily working, I'm going around working. I'm starting to talk to people. And I'm thinking, oh, how about this? We got everybody's got something that's full in their cup. And then it gets so full, they got to hand it over to you. And I had some people come to me and tell me, illustration the other day, they were talking to me about some stuff. And I'm going, oh, that's pretty wild. Look at their cup, it's just full of stuff. You know, and then, so what's in your cup? Then I start looking at that. What's in my cup? What is it that we can spill out? What is it that we can hand over? You know, and I'm walking around and I talk to people and I'm going, huh, that's an interesting cup. Guy was real detailed about how he did steps and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you got the steps, man. I can't handle that. That's too much for me. And they went up, and they turned, and came and turned. Forget it. I'd still be making the steps. But his cup was full of step building. I thought, okay, I'll start looking at the cups of every type. What a person has. What's in your cup? So I started looking at that. And now even there's a lot going on. And then even like sometimes the winter, I saw some race. And the guy held up a great big cup when he won the race. Had a great big cup, and he was holding up this cup. I thought, whatever, we got another one. And I got, anytime I share, I got to either bring mom or dad in. My mom would yell at me, and she would say to me, I cup my hands so you can hear me better. And she would say, Charles, Richard, get over here. Now, I knew something was wrong. Right? If you don't get over here, I'll call your dad. Well, then, boy, that was it. We were, you know, but there. And I thought of my mom. I could see her standing down the street yelling to me. Think of that. She's yelling down to me now. She's right where she wanted to be. Her whole life she wanted to see Jesus. She didn't want to see Uncle So-and-so. She didn't care about no cousins. She said, I can't wait to get to heaven. I bet she's shouting, hey, Jesus. That's just how I saw it. That's just how I saw it. So pouring from one cup to another. How my mom poured into my life. Just live it. Just live it. She poured into my life. So I went on to think about talking to others and telling someone different things and people telling things, you know. And then sometimes you have conversations with people. Right? And they talk to you. And it's a shareable conversation. You know, I can tell. Lex can tell me. And it's all right if I tell Phil. Right? But there's conversations that they talk to one another about. Right? And you don't need to share. It's a confidential conversation. And I got looking at that one. That's when relationships really start to get built. I can trust a brother or a sister with something. Right? And I thought, well, how about that? Where did that come from? You know? And I started looking at it. Sometimes it stays between two people. There's a time for that. I thought, wow, that would be nice to have a cup flow back and forth, talk to someone. Someone's struggling, they come to you. Hold it. Hold it. That helps them. They know they can trust you. And I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. So that's another cup, you know, a cup of developing relationships. And what is Christ all about? Building relationships. So different kinds of cups. Actually, I just got to brag on myself. I did two pages and stuck right to it. I'm right on it. I'm getting ready to lose it, though. I can see I'm drifting on it. Oh, here we go. All right. Now we're going to get into some scriptures. So I started looking up scriptures on cups. And just, so I got that little pad thing and it helps me find them quicker. Right? I found 91 scriptures with the word cup in it. I went, you got to be kidding me. 91 scriptures? Here we go. We got to start reading. So, and that, what I like about it, though, it goes from the beginning to the end of the Bible. It's all the way through. It's just not a partial little spot. So I like anything that traces all the way through. Right? So I started looking. And I'm just going to state some of these because a lot of them, you could just spend a lot of time talking about that scripture and what was going on at that time. So don't feel like I'm just like jumping over it, but it's just for time and sake. So in Genesis, it talks about Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I put it into Pharaoh's hand. So he was holding on to Pharaoh's cup. So then you read all that story. Right? And you think, man, but I got 90 more to go. I can't spend time on one. And in Genesis, there it says, put the silver cup in his bag. Remember when Joseph did that? Right? There was a silver bag. Now that bag has all kinds of stuff going on it. That cup has a lot of different meanings. And I'll let somebody else deal with that one. It was a weird name. I can't even say the word, but I'm glad I can't repeat it. But I like this one in Exodus 29, in the lampstand, four cups. I thought, oh man, now we're in the lampstand in the tabernacle, and the only way there's light in there where you see the showbread and where you see the altar of incense, right? There's a candle, and it has four cups. And that's what it says, four cups. Some of them, and it was shaped out of a blossom of some kind of, you know, almond. There you go. All right? But there it is. There's a cup in the lampstand. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. He's everywhere. Christ is everywhere. So I kept thinking about that. In the lampstand, four cups in the tabernacle, the holy place, made out of one piece. See, that's what's neat about that too. Wasn't a bunch of stuff stuck together. It's just one solid piece with four cups made in it. Right? Upon the wicket, he will rain snare, fire, and brimstone, and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. How about looking in that cup? And I start looking in cups when I would read something. Man, imagine seeing that. Fire and brimstone and burning wind in the cup you're getting ready to drink. Think about that. That's a scripture. Imagine that. Think about that. Have you ever been in a situation in your life, there was some fire and there was some stuff burning and there was some, you know what I mean? You're going, how am I going to get out of this? Look at that cup. Man, right? So you start studying those cups and going, wow. Imagine you wake up, well, I got nice fresh water in this one. Man, there's fire in this one. You want to look in that cup? You want to partake of that cup? And start looking now. Remember, don't forget the idea that we're sharing with other people. We're talking. Man, you start seeing, wow, they're really struggling. Wow. Look at the fire in their life. What can I do? How can I help? You don't say nothing. I don't. I just stand there and go, wow, check that out. Man, they're really struggling. That's a fire burning. Man. So then 1 Corinthians. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. I want to check that out. So now, right? And I might think about it. After a while, you will end up serving one or the other. You can't keep mixing that cup.
You can play a little bit, right? But eventually, you're going to have to get right. That's a statement from my dad. He told me that years ago. He said, you can't play both. You either run or go with the Lord. You don't play church around me. So we didn't go. I didn't go to church from the time I was 15 to almost when I got saved. I might have showed up a couple times for mom at some dinner. But we didn't go. I didn't go because of that very reason. I wasn't going to play. I knew not to play. Right? You can't serve both. You might think you can. Imagine living that mixed cup. You know, you're up in the morning. Oh, yeah, I look all good. You know, I'm good. But inside, man, imagine that. Oh, what a struggle it has to be. Why people are miserable? They're trying to look something that they're not. I thought, man, that's me. I've done that in my life. All right, the Lord's Supper. Jesus took some bread and eat this. Take this cup. Give thanks. Drink. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Right? That's a cup. Let's get a hold of that cup. Let's drink of his cup. You know, thinking of fire and brimstone, I'm going, wow, what a difference. What a thing. And it's funny how the Bible isn't all, like people say, well, the Bible's all full of rosy and this. There's some stories in there that I can't even believe I read. I'm like, wow, that's in the Bible? That's a story? Man, God was mad then, wasn't he? He burnt them people up, you know? But he always gave them a chance if you read it. They asked him, you can run if you want. And they stood and they got burnt. All right, for you clean, and here we go into Matthew 23. For you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, the inside is full of robbery and self-indulgence. When I came to the Lord, I walked in the grottos, and you probably heard me say this before, and Carlton Bailey, a big fella, right, slapped his hand down on the table real hard. Baker boy, get over here. I don't understand you. If you know him, that's how he was real loud. Right? Get over here. Right, yelling at this restaurant. So I go over to him. He said, I don't understand that. Look at you. You're always clean. You know, you got a nice car and you got them convertibles and you always got nice shoes on today. Carlton, thank you. He's in heaven today. Right? He says, you always wear nice shoes and you got a nice shirt. You're always clean. Right? But I don't understand why you're not serving the Lord. Right? You got a good fake front on. I read that scripture. I thought of Carlton Bailey. Wow. He called me, didn't he? That's the weekend I accepted the Lord. Well, the following weekend. I saw him that week. It was that next weekend when I came to Joshua. But there's Carlton pointing it out. So when I read the scripture, I go, boy, that was me. I did. I looked clean. I had a nice shirt. I was wicked inside. The cup I was carrying. The junk I was offering. The things I was saying. The life I was living. You blind Pharisee. First, you clean the inside of the cup, and the dish and the outside becomes clean. That's what Christ is saying. Clean the inside. Do the inside work. Don't worry about how good you look out here. It doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what you wear. Doesn't matter how you dress. Doesn't matter what kind of tie, hat, nothing. Christ says, clean the inside. Right? What Christ does to us, he first cleans the heart. Right? And that cup, he starts working on that. Right? And he starts changing that self-indulgence, self-righteous attitude. You know, I do whatever I want. Don't tell me. My name's Rick Baker. I'll do whatever I want whenever I get ready. That's my sister laughing at me. Because that's exactly how I thought. I didn't care about none of you. That's a sad statement. That's how I was. Right? So I'm reading this and I'm like, man, I had all that stuff. Right? I'm going, wow. So we go from self-centeredness and being all, you know, our own way, right? To looking good on the outside, but sinful on the inside, right? And Christ says, I want to wash the inside. He says, Rick, I want to work on you. So I want to look in that cup. I'm going to start looking in there. I did. I picked my cup up. I'm walking around. I'm walking. Probably my neighbor's like, what? That? I'm glad I don't have a lot of neighbors. And I'm looking in the cup. Oh, man, what's that cup look like? What does that look like? We start thinking about he's doing the work and he's doing that, right? Mother of sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons and asked, right? Who gets to sit on the right side or the left side in my kingdom? I want to know where to place their children, place their sons. I'm thinking, who cares? If we're in the kingdom, I don't care if I'm behind him, beside him, in front of him, around him. Around Christ is the point. But they wanted to be placed in a certain place. And Jesus says, that is not mine to choose. The Father prepares that. I thought, wow, Jesus said, turn that right over. That's not my choice. God prepared that. That's a scripture, right? Only the Father prepared that. God chooses who sits on either side of the kingdom. You're in. You're saved, right? You're in. That's the important point. And we're going to see Christ. We're going to be around Christ. He's not a far off guy. He's not going to be like not there. And, you know, because I deal with different people. And, you know, God, Jesus is going to be over here in heaven. And we're going to be down here. You know, I've been told all kinds of stuff like that. Habakkuk. I don't know much about. The cup of the Lord's right hand will come around to you. And utter disgrace will come upon your glory. Your self-righteousness, your self-glory, whatever you think. God's glory will overrun that. Right? Then he starts talking about a cup of cold water that you give to the child. Right? And he talks about that will be, right, come to see. And you will not lose your reward if you offer someone a cup of cold water. You will not lose your reward. So I start looking, boy, now that's Christ. He came to serve, didn't he? A cup of water will keep your... That brother needs a cup of water. That's simple. That's service. That's Christ. I wouldn't serve none of you. I wouldn't worry about you, right? But if we have Christ in our heart, here, you want, now I won't drink after you, but you can have my cup. That's not change, you know? But I'm just saying, that's a great reward. A cup of water. You won't lose your reward in heaven. How about that? A simple task. He's not requiring all kinds of stuff of you. Well, that was amazing. What a cup. Look in that cup. Is that cup, right? Jeremiah, there's a cup of wine of wrath, right? Then there's a cup from the Lord's hand, and we'll make all the nations to drink of it. Babylon had a golden cup. I always thought Babylon was a bad city or something. I don't know. I don't know anything about Babylon other than that leader wanted to rebuild Babylon. But I thought, there's a golden cup. We have a silver cup. We got a golden cup. We got a cup of water. We got a cup of wrath. We got a cup of... Look at all the cups. All these different things and different views that you can look at. And you can see when you're talking to somebody, man, they're drinking of, boy, that's a rough life. That's some wrath going on in there. Right? So it's simple. It's not a big deal, right? Isaiah, here's a different cup. You who have drank from the Lord's hand, you know, have the Lord, I'm reading it wrong. You who have drank from the Lord's hand, the cup of anger. There's a cup of anger God, the Lord had against them. Now you go ahead and I can get into reading that story to you and tell you the whole story. But I'm just saying there's these different things because I'm doing this to lead to a point. And when I get there, you know, we're heading, but I got to do it this way. I always jump all this stuff. But, and in Isaiah, I have taken out the hand of the cup of reeling. And if you look at that, he's taken out your enemies. He's taken out God's wrath out of your life. And he's done this through Christ. There's a cup. He's removed your enemies from you. Start thinking on that kind of stuff. We're Christians, we're believers, right? In my cup, man, my enemies, they can't mess with me. I'm a child of the King. Look at that. Look in there. That's pretty cool looking. Can you see that in yourself? Do you know that you are protected by God Himself? Do you know that He cares for you? Your enemies can't mess with you. Oh, they'll try. I ain't going to say everything's perfect. They can't win because He was defeated 2,000 years ago on the cross. Ezekiel. A cup of honor and I can't even say the word. Desolation. So the guy, he was of high respect, right? And at the same time, he was completely lonely. That's what it says. I'm reading it. I read that. Now, I might be interpreting that one wrong, and I'll be willing to take that later if you want to tell me, right? Because I'm not 100% sure, but I read that, what that word means, complete loneliness. And the other one means high respect and great esteem. So you don't know who you're talking to. They might be lifted up at high, great esteem, but they're totally lonely. They don't have anybody, man. They might just be an honorable person and done things right and look good, but inside, they're lonely. They're lost. Right? Don't look as high esteem as being that person doesn't need the Lord or that person's got it all together. They hide behind their honor. I thought, wow, what a cup they're drinking of. You're talking about a mixed cup. People are looking up at you and you're standing there, man, I'm the loneliest guy in the whole wide world. I started looking at it like that. Am I lonely? See, I started thinking those things. Am I alone? I got this little teeny kid, won't leave me alone. Dad, right? Love it, man. Love it. Kid keeps me going. Right? Just remember that. Maybe there's someone you know that's highly respected, but they need a friend. Amen. And our friend is Christ. Just think like that. When you're talking to people, all these samples, when they're talking to you, it's easy to see where people are coming from. If you know these scriptures, talk to Phil, and he starts talking to me, you know. I'm not going to say what I saw in Phil, but that's all right. And I just stay there and I'm doing it. I know it's terrible to do that, but I do it. So when you're talking to me, I'm working all this stuff out, right? I'm not just talking to you to talk to you. I'm going, well, what's in their cup? What are they offering? What are they talking about? And that guy, I work with a guy. He prays all the time. I mean, he walks around praying. You know, you hear him over there, dear God, Lord Jesus. And I'm like, man, that guy prays all day. What's in his cup? He's full right up with prayer. He's a prayer guy. That's his thing. You know? Okay. Got all those things out of the way. There's still tons more. Right? Now I'm going to start getting into what I would rather just done than we could all been home already. But the cup, we're going to go back and look at the cupbearer. Right? And now I want to look at that. There's different kinds of looks at the cup. The one who carries the cupbearer. Just that simple. He's a guy that's carrying the cup around. Right, he's carrying the king's cup. And he takes it, and you probably all know this, right? He takes it and drinks it and tastes it, make sure it's not poison. And that's his job. So I got thinking about that, man. That's you. I got to drink this for the king so I can hang out with the king. This is my job. And I got looking at the other side of it. I put down the poison, and I started picking it up. Wait a minute. I'm hanging out with the king. What's the advantage of hanging out with the king? What? And I started looking at it from that angle. Oh, well, that's pretty wild. There's got to be some goodness to hanging around with this guy. There's got to be something, right? So I started looking into that. And then, so he, Joseph, the cupbearer to the king, about Joseph, he was the guy, that cupbearer went to the king and said, do you know that Joseph interpreted these dreams perfectly about the a cupbearer and the baker? And the baker got the cupbearer got restored, the baker got hung and ate by animals. At first I liked it. I thought a baker's in the Bible. Then the next thing I know, I'm hanging, man. I'm like, the animals are eating. I'm like, look, check this out. Right? And I actually thought of it. I think, oh man, it's not good to be a baker today. Right? But that's what I thought. I thought, wow, one guy, they had the almost exact same dream, but there's two interpretations, and Joseph knew how to do it. That goes back to that cup, that silver cup, that has a different name to it. I can't think of that name right now. I want to say it, but I can't. And then, so he talks about, and he goes and he tells, he interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams. 7 years of abundance. You guys all know that story, right? And then 7 years of famine, right? Look how important he was. I started looking, wow, look how important he is to the king. He's got the king's ear. He's talking to the king. The king's listening. I went, wow, that's pretty wild. That's not a bad spot. Because he really is there to protect the king, right? But he's also figured out he's of high esteem. He's looked up to big time, or he wouldn't be around that king, right? So he's actually got some influence on what's going on, right? Because Joseph became a partial leader of Egypt. Through that cupbearer telling the king, this guy can interpret dreams. Ah, now we're on to it. There we go. Now he is hanging out with the king. Right? And I thought, how much more important, you know, went to the king and got to do this. Super important point. That you know he has the ear of the king. What a cup. If I drink it, I could die. If I drink it, I get great honor. Because I'm next to the king. I thought, how about that? Right? What a cup to carry. That guy had to carry. Well, that's pretty interesting. All right, let me take a drink. Here we go. I want to look at Jesus for a minute. We want to go. So we hear all this stuff. We see all these cups. We see who the cupbearers are. Right, and then I ended up looking at Jesus, and he's in the garden, and what's he say? Father, if you will, take this cup from me. I'm back up. What's in that cup? What's in there? What is that? What is that? Why is he doing that? Why is Christ the Son of God? You know, he knows he's coming down here, but take this from me. What's he seeing? What's he know? What's he doing? I thought, wow, that cup. So I look into this cup. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face. Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nonetheless, not my will, but thy will. And I'm thinking, he's wanting this cup to pass. He said it. I'm thinking, wow, there must be something going on, right? So let's go into this. I'm going to just go right to it. I'm calling Jesus the chief cupbearer. He's a cup, right? He himself carried our sins. He knew where he was going. In his body on the cross, so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Now he's starting to carry, and he carried our sins to the cross. He himself took on our iniquities and carried away our diseases. So Christ is going, man, I got, and he didn't just take on my sin, your sins, the sin of all time. Now that's a cup to carry, right? And I say that, and because the scripture does say that Christ is my portion of my inheritance and my cup. It's an actual scripture. And I went, ah, so he's in there on down on the ground, right? He's got blood dropping out of his head from the what's going on. He's looking in and he's saying, man, I gotta take all this. He's getting ready to get smashed, beat, slammed, cut, slapped, whatever they do to him. Cut him all up. Take this cup from me. He's like running the other way. I couldn't even, you slap me right now, I bet we'd have a hard time not getting something going on. See? You know? And here Christ is going to take on the sins of the world. For me, my sin, my junk. My nice looking suit and terrible inside. He wants to change that because he is my cup. And I started looking, wow, Christ is my cup. Wow, he's going down. He's going to do all this for Kevin, for you, for you, for you. He's going to the cross, right? And I'm going, man, what a cup to bear. That's no joke. Look at the whole story and how it talks about the portion, there it is, the portion of my inheritance and my cup. That's Christ. My inheritance is him, and he is my cup. He is the one that carried all my sins to the cross. I didn't do it. There was nothing I could have done. Now, I know you guys know all this, but it seems to be fascinating to me that he's a cup, right? And he's the chief cupbearer. Why is he the chief cupbearer? Because he has the Father's ear. He can hear the Father hears with Christ. Our access to the Father is what? Through Jesus Christ. Right? Talking about a cupbearer. Talking about not just being the cup. He's also carrying the cup. I'm thinking, man, you got to be kidding me. He's taking care of everything. He's taking care of it all. I get to be the privilege of this life. Me. Come on, people. Think about it. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Knowing better your whole life didn't want nothing to do with it. Didn't even go from when I was 15. And then he drops in and goes, here you go, man. I died on a cross for you 2,000 years ago. Before you even deserved it. Before you even knew about it. Before you were even born. I carried you. I am your cup. I thought, wow. The Lord is my portion. I'll say it again. The cup is used for putting something in. Don't forget that. But I love that he has the Father's ear. Check that out. Man, Jesus, look, man, I'm jammed up today. Can you get a word to the Father? Sure, man. I will pray. He says that. I will pray. And what does he say when I will pray? He says, I will pray. I will send you a comforter that will live and dwell within you. Oh, wow. Look at this cup, man. All this junk he washed from the inside. Right, he's getting rid of all the junk on the cross. It's over. No need to battle it no more. Lord, forgive me. Done. Right? And he starts filling you with what? And he says, I'll send you a helper. We don't need to be struggling, people. I mean, there's going to be hard times. Come on. We all have stuff going on. Right? But in that hard time, you go, yes, thank you, Lord. The Spirit of truth lives within me. And it says, then I live in him. Wow. Imagine that. Imagine that, in that cup. My chief cupbearer is before the Father right now saying, help Rick out. He needs help. Every day I need help. Still I need help. Right? And that's the beauty of it. He doesn't leave you. He's in your cup. He's filling you. I am in He is in me. All right, I'm only going to do a couple more things and we'll quit. All right, the chief cupbearer, he has already paid the price for my sin, your sin, sin of all time. Dealt with, over. Look into that cup. Your sin is gone. Look in there, it's clear. No junk in there. Dealt with. I love that. Gone. Quit dealing with it. Remember Psalm 6:15. 16:5. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. How about that? Man, I love it. He's my inheritance and my cup. He's talking about Christ being a cup. He's in you. He's filling you. Right? And here's one of the things that I want to look at. There's two more little things and we'll quit. Right? Sin dealt with. Let's look into Christ, our cup, the chief cupbearer. And he says, I will ask the Father. So knowing that Christ is the chief cupbearer, the Father hears him. He doesn't just have his ear. He hears him. There's a relationship there. He's the only one that God could trust to carry our sins to the cross. The only one worthy was him. I know you all know that. You've heard that for 30 years probably. You know? But we're going to keep on hearing it. Because that's a fact. That's what changes lives right there. He is in us. He is in you. He is your cup. He's carrying you. Not only your cup, but he carries you. The chief cupbearer. He will give another helper. And I said that. The Spirit of truth. He abides with and will be in you. The Spirit of truth is in you. He sent that to all of us. We all have that spirit. This cup is within us. Looking pretty good now, isn't it? You start to see, oh man, things are changing in my life. Huh, things are working out a little bit different. Oh, that's funny. You know, I'm standing in line and I'm not mad at everybody, you know? You know, I got people ahead of me in the car and I'm not getting aggravated anymore. Picking on Kevin. I loved it when he told that story, man. I just like, hey, yeah, he's got something wrong with him. That's exactly what I thought. But there it is. I mean, you know, you start noticing little things like that. Somebody's arguing and you stand there going, wow, I'm not even talking back. My mouth's shut. And you go and you're standing in line, you're doing stuff, and people are going, man, well, we really appreciate you being patient. I'm going, me? Patient? No, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going, wow. That's the Lord working in your life. We're looking for these crazy miracles all the time. He's there all the time. Quit looking. He's there. He's your cup. He's carrying you. He's lifting you up. It's not a far off thing. I'm a little bit excited, I guess. The world needs to know this. They do need to know it. But I need to know it. See, and I want to point that out, right? Stop looking, you know, like, well, what brother so-and-so would have heard that. I wish sister so-and-so would have heard that. We're all here. We're the ones hearing it. Right? And when I'm studying, I'm going, God, I need all this. I need to know this. I need to know this. He's building a relationship with me. He's letting me know. He's everything. He's everything. And he's going to fill my cup, right? And it'd be brimbrayed up, right? And even to the point, starts filling it out. It fills it back up. There's more coming. There's more coming. There's more coming. Even if I miss that coffee pot, there's more water. His life never runs out. How long that well run in the Old Testament, Paul? 40 years or something when he struck the rock and it fed all that stuff? He never runs out. Okay. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells within you? Do you know that? And if anybody messes with you, it says God and destroys the temple, it says God will destroy them. What kind of scripture is that? God's going to protect you. There's back to that protection. For the temple of God is holy. That is what you are, a temple of God. Look how he looks at you. You're not just some guy that he went and did something for and washed away your sins and you're nothing. He's made you a temple to him. You're a temple to the living God, the creator of all. You're talking about building relationships, right? That's what he's filling in your cup. Think about it. He's filling you with that. He's filling you with that. He's filling you, showing he's your protector. He's showing you you are a temple. He didn't just save you for no reason. He saved you to have a relationship with him. Right? All right, one more thing, and we'll wrap it up. Remember that Christ did all, you know, by taking our sins. I love that he's the cup. He's the cupbearer. He took all our sins for everybody, right? Becoming the chief cupbearer, right? Became my portion and my cup. Places his spirit in us, right? Our cups and our hearts. So here's the last thing that I wanted to say that he does, right? He does more than one of this. I'm just saying this is what I'm going to end up with, right? And we start looking at the cup and wondering, what is he filling me with? What is it that I have to offer? Because he's not doing this just so Rick can stand here today. I'm out all the time. I'm more time outside messing with people, dealing with people. So when they're talking with you and you're sharing back and forth, right, and they're talking, they see, well, that's a little different, man. You know, I even went somewhere last week with an old friend of mine, and we had a really good time, right? But looking into the cup, and then he starts to fill it with his spirit. Now, we say we know he gave us the spirit of truth, but you all know this old scripture, right? He starts filling it with love. I don't even say that to anybody. I don't even tell people I love them. Never. I don't think I ever have. Miss Hope told me one day I'm going to tell her. I don't know if she ever remembers that. But I don't use it because I think it's overused. Right? But he's filling you with love. And you start, then it's more becomes an action than a word. You start doing stuff and you're going, must be. Must be coming around. Joy. He starts filling your heart with joy. And now in today's world, we need more than anything is some peace. Right? Just some peace. Let people see it. Let them see what your cup is full with. You know what I mean? It's not some far off guy and some crazy religion. We have fun all the time. I do. Everywhere I go, I'm rolling. You know? You just don't have to be crazy Rick. You know, now you are crazier because they're like, man, he's in church. Look at him. You know? But the peace, patience. Like I said that before, I don't have any patience. Kindness, goodness, faith. This is what he's filling you with. It's filled to the brim and it starts running out. And people can't do nothing. Right? Because you're going to have to get it out. Because that cup is so full, you can't even balance it. And that's what he wants. You don't even want to control it. You want to throw it on Lex. Here's some joy. Here's some peace. Here's some hope. Bring it, Miss Hope. And I thought that was amazing that he would do that. So Christ took an old, dirty, twisted, mixed up cup. Talking about myself. And entered into a relationship with him. And he starts pouring all this stuff in. Starts changing your life. You know what I mean? He starts changing. I wouldn't be married today. Ain't no way. One of the best things I did. I don't know what you think of her, but man, she's a kind person, buddy. She's kind when nobody's around kind. Not me. I'm up and down, man. I catch an attitude. Right? But that, he twisted that old cup. He took that old cup and he washed the inside. And I'm hoping someday you'll be able to see the outside cleaning up a little bit. Doesn't matter what I wear. I could be wearing old clothes, but you're going to be able to see. That's the point. It's not about how you look out here. What's coming up? The world needs to see some peace. God's peace. Not something you manufacture, you know. Enter into the life with Christ. Our cup. Right? Pour this into others. Pour Christ into others. All we need. And that is Christ. All right, I'm going to stop. Lord, we thank you for this morning that we could share these few words and that these people all know this stuff, but thank you that I can get it out, Lord. And we thank you that you are our cupbearer. And you are our cup. And you pour into us your spirit of truth. We thank you for these things, Lord, that you want to deal with us. And we thank you, you want to dwell within us. And us in you. Amen.